Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you, Lord. And we praise you for all that's going to happen tonight. All the revelations that are going to come forth. Lord, be with us. Talk through us. Work through us. And let us be led by your Holy Spirit. Let us be led by you, Lord. That's what we want. We want nothing but you, Lord. We thank you for the words that you've given us, encouraging words that you've given us. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for your protection upon the president and his team. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing through him too. Thank you, Lord, for scattering our enemies in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for leading us into this great happening that's fixing to happen in a mighty, strong way, Lord. Strong in you, that's what I meant. Nothing in us can help anybody, but you in us can. Thank you, Lord, for placing our minds on you at all times. If we abide in you, you abide in us. We thank you for that, Father. That's an awesome testimony to anybody that we're a walking, talking tabernacle of the Lord God Almighty. And we thank you for that, Father. Let us ever be vigilant to keep out the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight through your people here in this fellowship and throughout the world. I know there's a lot more people that listen in than join in. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see. Let me let Barbara and Pat in. I thought Pat was in here. Yeah, he's in here. Okay. I got something I want to ask Debbie to do. I can read it either one. Is the word that the Lord gave me. You'd rather that I do it or you do it? Me? You sure?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, good. It's an awesome, awesome word from the Lord. Debbie says, I was beginning to read the word in order to quiet my thoughts for a nice hour nap. Then the Father just began speaking this word to me. My beloved people, you are in a time with me of gentle admonishments and tender encouragement to keep on and to exceed in the way in which you are going, the way you have been taught. Press on to the path I have shown you. Stay true to my ways and be expectant of what lies just before you. For you will soon be a people talked about. Many signs and wonders will be performed. But give yourselves only into me. Be attentive and be ready to respond to my voice. My plans for you require you to be people of constant prayer. Will you do this? Will you respond and come to attention when my command comes to you? For you will hear it. You will know it. Will you prepare yourselves to come to action, to prayer, to warfare? This is required so that you be bold and strong with the faith I have given to be my hands and my feet and my eyes and a powerful voice. Be always ready to be led by my spirit, for the time is now to come to attention and listen and respond to me. Prepare yourselves in me in these ways, for this will cause you to know what to do in an instant, to testify of me. I tell you, miracles, signs, and wonders will be done when you lay all of yourself down and by the faith of me in you, do mighty things. And some of you will do exploits. The time has come. I need you. And then she says, I asked Father for something from his word for this, and he took me to Acts 20 and 24. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to teach solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Thank you, Father. And in the same way that you say yes to us, may we say yes to you. By your grace, may it be unto us according as you have spoken it to us. We do want your glory to be seen from us and through us in these mighty works you have for us, and even smaller works, all for bringing others to you and building your kingdom. Father, we are humbled that you let us know you need us. We choose to continue to prepare ourselves to be yours alone and to be used for your glory. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Lord, we just thank you so much that you would even look at us, let alone work these mighty miracles through us and these mighty exploits, as you call them. I know it's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord, in the days ahead, for the people that are faithful and that have you in their eyes. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, because it's all come from you. And like you taught us to say, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your encouragement for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, what do y'all think? Anybody got any question? Man, y'all would be jumping up and shouting, Jesus, glory to God. You ought to be shouting and hollering out there, glory to God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Man, I feel Jesus all over better than I do anywhere else. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My. Yeah, Pat. Say glory to God, Pat. Say glory to God. Amen, brother.
Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. I was listening to part of a documentary about, let's just say, the deep state. I clicked on this link and was listening to this a little bit. It was a couple hours long, so I didn't listen to it. But the foundation that was laid in this thing demonstrated how deep and vast this beast is in this day and age, and that an individual's ability to hide in the midst of, try to isolate yourself and save yourself, so to speak, in the midst of this this environment now that we have in this day and age, with the tools that they have at their disposal as far as data collection and information, every one of us are known and can be known, all the basic details of our life are already known by, you know, those in authority or those in the government. Maybe. Or those in that system.
Maybe.
But I'm not finished. There is no way that we can protect ourselves. There's no way that we can hedge ourselves in and isolate ourselves and try to protect ourselves from this vast network of the beast network that is involved, that is in existence right now. However, I think that's why the Lord has led us into how to enter into that secret place of the Most High, because we've been translated out, completely out from underneath that kingdom of darkness, and are hidden in Christ by our faith and belief. And I was thinking about, in the midst of that that prayer that that you were praying there, Michael, that I was looking at Romans 1:16, for he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith to faith." And I was, when I first started studying that verse, I started thinking of what is he talking about? Wherein? Where is the in that he's talking about, as far as therein is revealed the righteousness of God? Is it the gospel, or is it salvation? And I come to the conclusion that it is neither. Even though it is both of those, it's the fact that it's to everyone that believes. It's the believing. It's in the believing of the truth that we enter into that. That we enter into that faith, which springboards us into all these promises that God has given, one being that ultimate protection in that secret place of the Most High. So I think God is bringing us to a place of being comfortable in dwelling in that in the midst of the turmoil that we're in. So that was just what I was thinking based upon what you're talking about, Michael.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. You're right. I heard something similar to what you're talking about. They do have a file on everybody except those who have prayed and asked God to take them out of the system. And that's what I've done. And I know that I don't know who Michael Harry is. He will. Praise the Lord. Is that good, Julie? Sitting there eating right here in front of me. Glory to God. It looks delicious. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah. Anybody have any questions or any comments on the word that Debbie got?
About the admonitions that were spoken.
Your volume is way down, Phil.
That's weird. Is it still down?
That's a little better.
Oh. So about admonitions, could that be like a sickness or anything?
What are you talking about?
Or is it a reprimand in the word?
Yeah. My beloved people, you are in a time with me of gentle admonishments. Yeah, that's, you know, he just corrects you here, a little correction there, where it's needed.
Well, praise God, because we're getting them. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I think we all are. It's been a pretty hectic time here just in the last little bit.
Yep, amen.
Let's just pray against it. What do you think? Because it's the enemy. It's witchcraft. In the name of Jesus right now, I cast down all witchcraft curses against us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask right now that if there's something in our lives that needs to be corrected, show us. We repent. Get back on the road. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Tender encouragement to keep on and to exceed in the way in which you are going, the way you have been taught. Amen.
Michael, can you post that in the chat?
You want me to type it?
No, I guess I don't.
I don't. I can't, Pat. I'd be here all night long trying to type it.
Okay.
Debbie might, but I can't.
I hear you.
All right. Anybody else got a comment on the encouragement from the Lord that Dave missed? It was a good one too, Dave. I wish you was here. I'll send it to everybody in the email. That'll be good. Yeah, I'll do that. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Claire.
It's not really a prayer request. It's a praise report for previous prayer.
Okay.
A few weeks back, maybe a month ago, can't remember, we prayed for the other homeschooling mom in our little village who has come to the real good news, and she was the only one who ever really interacted. She's really, really introverted. And then I think I told you I went to her house and we spoke about the Holy Spirit and we prayed for her. It's unbelievable what's happening to a woman. Like, she is the kind of person who's as quiet as a little mouse and she never says anything. And she doesn't even like voice notes on WhatsApp, which is what we use here. And I don't know if everyone uses it, but we use it in this country and a few others. And she is sending me voice notes with questions and like all these words about God. And she is, it's like, I said to her yesterday, I said, it's like you're on fire. And she says, I feel like I'm on fire. And she went to a community gathering on Friday night, which I think I mentioned I didn't go to, but she went, and apparently the whole night everyone was talking about homosexuality and transgenderism and trying to, you know, have these sort of moral debates. But I mean, how can anybody from Babylon have a moral debate? But anyway, and she just kept quiet about it. And then she asked me, she said to me, I've done some research, and oh my goodness, she's like, there were some people who call themselves Christians who were sitting there who were saying homosexuality is wrong or is okay, and it's fine to have them in your church. And then I went to go look at, she was just going on and on and on and on. And then she got onto all these other little topics. And the whole time I'm like, yep, there's a teaching from UBM for that. There's a teaching for UBM from that. And I feel like I'm sounding like I'm in a cult because that's all I say. But then I tried to find some other people, other pastors, which are very far and few between. Anyway, yesterday she sent me another message, and I actually went and found a word in the Bible where it says, you know, basically what the Pharisees did was they accepted the bribe from Satan that Jesus never accepted in the wilderness. And so they, you know, they grew their numbers and they did all of that, which is exactly what the Christian church has done today. And I sent it to her because it was written, it's a kid's Bible, so it was written in like really nice language. She sent me back, she's like, all these destructive doctrines. And I'm like, come on, God. There's a book for that. So I took a photo of the cover of the book and the contents page. And I said, here's one that you could maybe look at. And she said, yes, 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 I'll come and fetch it. So she's coming to fetch it tomorrow. I'm so excited.
That's awesome. How old is she?
Oh, she's a mom. So she, I think she's 34. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, she's got two small kids and she's just thrilled.
Awesome. Lord has opened up her spiritual eyes to see. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. All right. That's a good testimony.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Paula, go ahead.
Can I quickly pray for her? What is her name?
Andrea.
Andrea. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, and I bring Andrea to you, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for opening her spiritual eyes. Thank you for stirring that fire in her. Thank you just so much, Lord, for drawing her. And I ask you for your just every beautiful blessing on Claire as well when Andrea comes to fetch the book. And I ask for your anointing over Andrea that she can recognize the anointing that is on that book. And on the other books as well, Lord, and that she will just have that beautiful blessing on her, that it will just draw her to the Word of God, as we can testify the books have done for us, Lord, and that it will open the Bible for her, that it will give her the keys that she's been looking for. And I thank you so much for this opportunity. And I ask you that she won't be able to put that book down and that she won't be able to put down her Bible and that she will just be absolutely transformed by the renewing of her mind. And that her life, the way that it's touched her now, that it will just have a ripple effect towards everyone she comes into contact with. Just give her a gift of faith and love and power and sobering, Lord. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for revival.
Amen. Would y'all mind if I read that again for the rest of the people that came in? Y'all would? Okay, now. All right, we'll do it again. Listen up now. This is Debbie with Denny at Debbie Finsky. Said, I was beginning to read the Word in order to quiet my thoughts for a nice hour nap. Then the Father just began speaking this word to me. My beloved people, you are in a time with me of gentle admonishments and tender encouragement to keep on and to exceed in the way in which you are going, the way you have been taught. Press on to the path I have shown you. Stay true to my ways and be expectant of what lies just before you. For you will soon be a people talked about. Many signs and wonders will be performed. But give yourselves only to me, into me. Be attentive. Be ready to respond to my voice. My plans for you require you to be people. My plans for you require you to be people of constant prayer. Will you do this? Will you respond and come to attention when my command comes to you? For you will hear it. You will know it. Will you prepare yourselves to come to action, to prayer, to warfare? This is required so that you be bold and strong with the faith I have given to be my hands and my feet and my eyes and a powerful voice. Be always ready to be led by my Spirit, for the time is now to come to attention and listen and respond to me. Prepare yourselves in me in these ways, for this will cause you to know what to do in an instant, to testify of me. I tell you, miracles, signs, and wonders will be done when you lay all of yourself down and by the faith of me in you do mighty things. And some of you will do exploits. The time has come. I need you. He needs us. Praise God. Then she says, I asked Father for something from his word for this, and he took me to Acts 20 and 24. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to teach solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And then she goes on with the prayer. Thank you, Father. And in the same way that you say yes to us, may we say yes to you. By your grace, may it be unto us according as you have spoken it to us. We do want your glory to be seen from us and through us in these mighty works you have for us, and even smaller works, all for bringing others to you and building your kingdom. Father, we are humbled that you let us know you need us. We choose to continue to prepare ourselves to be yours alone and to be used for your glory. Thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name. Ain't that an awesome one? Man, that's an awesome word from the Lord. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God, glory to God. And it's available to everybody listening. You just surrender yourself.
Michael, I have to share this song. every time you say glory, glory to God, it starts out glory, glory to the King of Kings, glory, glory okay. to the Lamb, glory to the King of Kings. I'd like to read the verses first. God, our righteousness enthroned high above the earth, has redeemed us from the curse of sin that we might reign with him on high. He has clothed us with salvation, wrapped us in his righteousness to proclaim to every nation the glories of his majesty on high. I don't know if anybody knows that. Do you know it?
I don't know.
Well, let's hear it so we can know if we okay. know it. I have to hear the tune.
Lord, you gotta help me. You gotta help me, Lord. Glory, glory to the King of Kings. Wait, I'm too low. Sorry. I know Debbie probably knows it. Glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory to the Lamb. Glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory to the Lamb. God, our righteousness enthroned high above the earth, has redeemed us from the curse of sin that we might reign with him on high. Glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory to the Lamb. Glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory to the Lamb. He has clothed us with salvation, wrapped us in his righteousness to proclaim to every nation the glories of his majesty on high. Glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory to the Lamb. Glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb. You want to sing one, Judy? No. Okay. All right. Well, you had your chance there, girl. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to pray about or testimony or praise report. Yeah, it was. That was good. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Can I ask you for some prayer, please? I feel quite in the mornings and numbness in my fingertips, please.
In your numbness in your where? In your fingers?
Yeah.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, right now, we come against that numbness. We command it to go from Joe. In Jesus' name, you don't have any right to be there. And I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you leave his fingers and his body in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that he is healed, delivered, and set free from this numbness in his finger. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, Joe, that's done, brother.
Thank you.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Claire.
It's just a really short one, but it's so exciting. Rian had he asked me to share it because he can't share today, but he had a business that he ran from in a few different countries. And when he pursued this business, he just did all the right things and it was all easy. And then he stopped it when the Lord said stop. And unbeknown to him, in the UK market where this business was, he had to pay tax and he didn't know. And Her Majesty's service contacted him earlier this year and said he had like £520 or something outstanding, which is not an exorbitant fee, but it is a big chunk of money if you didn't expect you were ever going to do this. Rian closed the business 3 years ago, so it's quite a long way back. And he spoke to them and he said, okay, I didn't know I had to register for tax. I didn't know it was going to, you know, that I would even sell over the threshold and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know the ins and outs, but basically what happened was we prayed about it and we asked the Lord. We said, this was done in obedience to you both times, to start it and to end it. And please, can you make this go away? Or can you show us what we're supposed to do next? Because we don't want to be beholden to Her Majesty's service. And I think sometime on the weekend, it could have been Saturday or Sunday, he just thought, oh, he should maybe call them and find out what's going on. And when he phoned, the account has been completely cancelled. It's like it never existed. There's no trace. There's nothing. No trace. Yeah. So God is so good to us. He is just such, oh man, I'm amazed at his grace and mercy. And we're very, very grateful, and all the glory to him.
Amen. Thank you, Father. What's that, £500 or what?
Is it sterling?
Okay. All right. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Debbie, for sharing that. That was awesome word. Okay, is that it? Nobody got any more testimonies or praise reports or prayer requests? Then let's get started on oaths, pledges, and what is it? Oaths and pledges or promises. Who was it that had that request anyway? Was that Paula? No, that was Claire. Yeah.
That was Rian, Michael, and I also had a dream about that afterwards. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I did send it to you and David. It was pretty mind blowing.
Julie, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Oh, my.
No. Jesus bore my shame.
Oh my. You sent me a dream about that.
I could send it to you again and we could shelve this for a later date, or if you want, I can.
Yeah, we'll just share it for a later date because well, I don't see it, so anyway. Anyway, we can still talk about oaths and promises as a Christian, right? What is a Christian's responsibility to things like oaths to a flag of a country or whatever, any kind of oath or pledges that for Christians? Can anybody want to start this out? Because I sent everybody an email on it. Yeah, I did, Judy. Yeah, I think everybody got one, didn't they? No? I did send it out. Did anybody get one? Okay, if Barry and Marilyn got it, everybody else got it. Bless God. I know. I said, didn't tell me that. Had me worried. Thank you, Barry, for backing me up, buddy. Oh, my. Anyway, what is a Christian's responsibility as far as the world's oaths and pledges and vows? Leon, did you have something? Okay. Nobody had anything. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Now, I got this offline. I don't even know what Bible this is, but it is pretty close. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black. But let your yeas be yeas and your noes no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. That's just one verse on that. There's three or four more. So what's that telling us if we have to do an oath? What do we do? Oh, it's going to be fun tonight. All right, go ahead, Debbie.
Well, we're vowing to keep a promise that we may not be able to keep. First place.
That's exactly right. You don't know. What about pledge allegiance to the flag?
No.
No. What about pledge allegiance to a country? No. You don't know if you're going to be in that country tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to be in the United States tomorrow. Or wherever, you know. Yeah, Leon.
We're citizens of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom on the earth. So you don't make pledges to kingdoms on the earth. You make a pledge to the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. That's right. We're ambassadors of Christ. Yeah, Claire.
I just realized this last night. I was talking to my children about how babies come out. And most babies come out, you know, head first, facing the ground. And I realized that we're all actually coming out in literally looking at the ground, like in sin, with our eyes there, not up. Most babies, right? Other babies have all these other interesting ways they come out. But I'm just saying the type is that you come out in sin, facing the ground, your head down, not up to the sky. Covering of, you know, you're covered by your mother. So there's ignorance. If you're a citizen of a country, you're born into that, whatever that is, by ignorance. And as soon as you come to the knowledge of Christ, you can rebuke that and you can say, I no longer serve this, you know, these sets of rules. When you start traveling internationally and you start wanting citizenship, or not maybe wanting it, but, you know, it gets required or that sort of stuff, and you're already a believer, that's when it becomes difficult, because then, well, not difficult, but that's when the challenge comes in, because you already know the truth. And so you cannot become a citizen knowing that you're already a citizen of the kingdom. There's no dual citizenship with Jesus.
That's a good point. Also, what about the courtroom? When they say, I swear, and you're supposed to put your hand on the Bible, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Anybody got any thoughts on that one? I have, but I'm going to save it.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Lenny.
No matter what truth you say in a courtroom, they can twist it and make it into a lie.
Yeah, well, that's true. What would you say, though? Would you swear on the Bible, or would you just tell them, look, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you I'm a Christian, right, and I'm not swearing on the Bible. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to tell you the truth, no matter what. Right.
But on the whole point of, you know, pledging allegiance to a country, I'm kind of in that pickle right now, because, you know, I wasn't born in this country. My parents immigrated here as refugees. And I was 6 years old. And so I've been here for 30 years, and I'm not a citizen. I've got what they call a green card. So for me to become a citizen, I would have to pledge allegiance to this country and to uphold its laws and promise to serve in the military if I'm called upon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I can't bring myself to saying that. Yeah. So I'm kind of, and that makes it difficult for me, because I would love to travel, you know, to Ukraine, or go back to Russia, or go back to Europe and see, you know, where I'm from. And I even have relatives that are overseas, and I can't go and visit them because I'm not a citizen. I can't get a passport. I'm not able to travel freely. And if I do, I get interrogated, and there's chances are that they'll make my life very difficult because I don't have the citizenship status backing me. And so, you know, as much as I would love to be able to do all those things, I can't, because I'm not willing to take those oaths.
Amen.
So it makes it really hard for people like me and others in the same situation.
Yeah. I can see that. But it also makes it easy for the Lord to translate you over there. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. It's Amen. A good thought. Amen.
I can imagine that would be a pretty, well, it could be pretty bad at times. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Denny.
I guess the question, how do you balance that with when we're told to submit to the government, submit to the emperor, you know, that says, I think in, let me read you a couple of verses in 1 Peter 2:13. For the sake of the Lord, submit yourself to every human authority, to the emperor, who is the supreme authority, and to the governors who have been appointed by him to punish the evildoers and to praise those who do good. For God wants you to silence the ignorant talk of the foolish people by the good things that you do. Let's see. And of course, and then the other one in Romans 13, Romans 13:1, everyone must obey state authorities because no authority exists without God's permission. And the existing authorities have been put there by God. Whoever opposes the existing authorities opposes what God has ordered, and anyone who does not will bring judgment on himself. For rulers are not to be feared by those who do good, but by those who do evil. Let me see. I'll read a couple more verses, okay? Would you like to be unafraid of the man in authority? Then do what is good, and he will praise you, because he is God's servant working for your own good. But if you do evil, then you will be afraid of him, because his power, he has power to punish. His power to punish is real. He is God's servant and carries out God's punishment on those who do evil. For this reason, you must obey the authorities, not just because of God's punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. It goes on about a little bit about paying taxes and that. But so there's another side of it. And I was thinking, is it possible to become a citizen of a country? I mean, I don't know if they have a place where you could put an asterisk in there and put, you know, something like a, as God allows. I don't know how you would do that. I've never signed all those papers, but I'm sure that they're pledging that they're going to be loyal, you know, to the laws of the land and, you know, the whole thing like that. If you're going to become a citizen, I mean, as citizens, we are even now, you know, the ones who are citizens now in this, we are in that same place where we're, we have the responsibility to be obedient, except for areas when they're telling us to disobey God. You know, like what's going on in maybe like that church in California. You know, they're told to not to have a worship service, or they'll be fined and everything. And yet they're saying, no, we have to obey God because, you know, our government was set up to have, there's the governing of the land, but then there's the church, and the church is to be obedient to Christ, then we have to put that first. We'll obey you as far as we all we can, but if you tell us to, you know, disobey God, then, you know, you be the judge. We have to obey God. You know, if you want to punish us, go ahead, but we're going to obey God. But anyway, so that kind of, I don't know if that's pledging allegiance to a country or to a flag, is that, where do you get the balance of, you know, now it's not, I wouldn't say that's taking a vow, is it, or an oath, or you're just.
Well, you pledge your allegiance to that country rather than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Not necessarily rather than, but also to. I mean, you're doing it in the view of these verses of being obedient to the proper authority. So I'm committing to be obedient to God, but then also to as God directs me in the word, I will obey the authorities of this land. You know, I think that would be.
Well, if you pledge your allegiance to a flag and the flag goes against your belief, now what?
Then you have to follow God if they tell you to disobey.
So you're not, so you, what you've done then is that you have broken your pledge against the country.
Well, I'm saying, is there something that you could add to them documents or make it clear?
I think so. I think that you can have, I don't know this, but I would think that you could tell them that, look, it's against Christ's law for me to swear or pledge or commit an oath or a vow to anything other than him. Yeah. Now, let's just skip over this and see if we can do something else, you know. I will obey the laws of the land as long as they don't go against the word of God. And what happened out there in California went against the word of God and the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah. You know, like someone can be a conscientious objector. You know, I don't want to go to war and kill somebody else. Yeah. You know, I'll help out if I can in other ways, but I can't, in my conscience, I can't kill someone. You know, there's an allowance for them. So I don't know what the law of the land says as far as making these kind of allowances. I don't know all that, the fine print and all that paperwork. I don't know what it says. But I would think it'd be okay to, I don't know if the, you know, pledge allegiance, I don't know if that's the right wording. I will obey, you know, I will, right, respect and honor the government as the word of God instructs me to. You know, I will obey the government is you know, in that way. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, we'd be, you know, you'd be, I don't know.
There's a lot of ifs and buts there, so.
Yeah. And because along with citizenship goes, you might get kicked out of the country in time if you don't do, I don't know what all the requirements are, but people, when they come here, you want to become a citizen so that you're entitled to all the entitlements, and there's that part of it, and if you don't do, you know, that part of it, then you, someone else, step in. Has anyone had that experience of becoming a part of a country and signing and, you know, going through that whole process? We had a family that back in Illinois that came from Sri Lanka, and several of them became citizens. And one of the brothers was having a hard time because he couldn't fulfill some stuff, and they made him leave the country. They just cut the whole, cut it out from underneath, and he had to move up into Canada, and it put a hardship on the whole family and everything. But it's because he didn't get that stuff done in time and in an orderly fashion. And so.
Whoa.
We probably don't trust our country anymore like we used to because of all the wicked people that are in those higher places, you know, but.
Yeah, here's Julie posted something from the naturalization oath of allegiance to the United States of America. It's an oath.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil is right. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have therefore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of invasion. So help me God. Okay. Then she says that there can be certain modifications to that. And then.
That's what I was thinking there. You look for, is there some legal modifications where you can make sure you're not, I wouldn't want to sign what you just read either, the way it's stated, you know, but yet with the qualifications that God comes first and you're going to obey God, and, you know, that you will obey the laws of the land and, you know, as much as the word of God allows us to.
Yeah,
I wonder what those modifications are.
in Australia, Rion posted this, the citizenship pledge from this time forward. Under God, I pledge my loyalty to Australia and its people, whose democratic beliefs I share, whose rights and liberties I respect, and whose laws I will uphold and obey. Okay. We don't know if you can or not, you know. Might be some laws in there that doesn't go along with the Word of God. And, you know, that may be something that we all can do if we have to. And say, look, I will do it as long as it goes with the Word of God. And when it goes against the Word of God, I'm not going to be able to do it. Go ahead, Pat.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's had his hand up for quite a while, Sue, unless you've got something more important.
That's okay. You can, Sue, you can go. I'm enjoying listening, so.
Yeah, I'll try to put your hand up. That way I can get everybody in line.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
If we're not allowed by the Word of God to make a pledge to God, then how could we be allowed to make a pledge to man?
Exactly. That's a good point. Go ahead, Pat.
So I think I'm probably not in the same mind here. So I'm gonna flip it out anyway, just so not that I'm standing on this, but I'm gonna throw it out. Because when I got that email, I read that what that pledge was or what the wording was. There was, and I think it's significant that what it is. But the thing that I think the Lord showed me this morning as I was thinking about it is that number one, we have to go with what our conscience is telling us. We can't go against our conscience, which is kind of the foundation of the whole thing. In other words, if there's something that I would say in trying to, you know, expound on something, and it doesn't feel right in your conscience, you're not with it, then you have to submit to your conscience. You have to submit to God and what your conscience is. I know I had one time when I was younger, this is kind of a stupid illustration, but I bought a flute. It was a wooden flute from some sort of a fair or something like that. And at the time, I felt like I felt like the Lord didn't want me to buy that flute. And so I kind of ignored it, sloughed it off. And I later, after maybe a year, learned how to play the thing and all that sort of thing. It was still there, that feeling that the Lord did not want me to have that. Why that is, I don't know. So I finally told the Lord, well, I'm not sure I understand that, but I'm tossing it in the trash and forgive me for violating and going against that. Later on in years, for whatever reason, I don't know why the Lord put that on my conscience. There's nothing wrong with a flute, nothing wrong with a musical instrument or whatever. But there was something there in me that the Lord didn't want me to have it for some reason. He knows best. He knows what he's doing. So I tossed it out. I think it was very significant and important to me at that time that whether that was a thing right or wrong, it was a thing of conscience. And so I had to follow that the Lord through that conscience. But in so I think it's important that whatever is said in these meetings, in our meetings, a lot of us are just, I mean, you know, we feel like the Lord is leading us, and I believe he is. But that doesn't mean that we are absolutely right. We could be wrong. I could be wrong in the things I'm saying. So I trust all of you out there and listening that if I say something that goes wrong, that you are ready to put that before the Lord in prayer and ask his grace on my life to lead me. That being said, I kind of look at this as a little bit different in that, number one, these countries, or this, say this country, is wants you to pledge, you know, your allegiance to them or loyalty to them or whatever. However, this world doesn't belong to them. It doesn't belong to those nations. It doesn't belong to those governments. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I serve, whom I represent, who I serve him, and these nations serve God, whether they are under God. Whether they know it or not, it makes no difference. They're under God. And when we are in service to God, or we are under submission to God, we have been translated out of this kingdom of darkness into his kingdom. And God's kingdom, God's world kingdom, has this little subset of the earth and all of its nations and governments under it and within it. And we are representatives of that larger, that higher authority, that higher government that rules over all of the earth. Therefore, submitting ourselves to one of these lower, shall we say, nations, as we go in as ambassadors, we still serve the higher authority. And so when I was looking at that, and I think of back when you look at the prophets of old, Jeremiah and all of the prophets, the kings always requested for those prophets to come and tell them what God is saying. They respected what they were saying. Now, those prophets all belonged, all were underneath the authority structure of that kingdom, but they weren't, but they were resting in the authority that had been given them by God. They were under no threat to the king, however they submitted to the king, the same way in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so when I was looking at Claire's pledge, or Australian citizenship pledge, it says it already has that act, that acknowledgement in it. So from this time forward, under God, I pledge my authority to Australia. Under God, I pledge my loyalty to Australia and its people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The government of Australia, whether they recognize it or not, they put it forth in their pledge that they are acknowledging God, under God. God is above, Australia's below. They're already recognizing that God above is above in authority. So by virtue of the fact that they are already acknowledging that God is above, it goes without saying that if God gives you some, tells you something, gives you a command to do, it's already assumed that you're going to obey that command rather than what that particular lower government would be telling you. So I guess I am comfortable in stating their pledges or stating their what they consider allegiance, knowing very well that I rest in the fact that if the government should tell me to violate my conscience, should tell me to violate God's word, I can rest in God's supply for me as I refuse to obey that particular command. I can rest in the hands of God through that process, and I think we can, you know, well, I guess that's just my perspective on it, and I feel like there's a certain, even Daniel, I mean, they were servants, they were loyal to Nebuchadnezzar. He had no choice. He was a slave. He was under their authority. Yet when they gave him a commandment not to pray, he simply acknowledged, he disobeyed it. He obeyed God and was willing to suffer the consequences. He was willing to put his, to rest in the place of God, in God's hands. Whether or not he came through or not, he's resting in God's hands. It's like he wasn't up in arms. He didn't go out and rebel against the king. He didn't, you know, go out and try to raise up a bunch of people to bear arms against the king. Or he didn't go out and protest and knock down walls and this and that. He simply disobeyed and trusted God, rested in God. So I personally don't have a problem with, say, taking that pledge. Now, I'm not saying that I'm right in this thing. I'm just saying that that's the way the Lord has taught me at this point. So I yield the floor.
Okay. Go ahead, Lana.
I just wanted to mention that I became a naturalized citizen through my parents when I was still a teenager. I wasn't old enough to, I don't think I was old enough to apply for myself. I remember my parents telling me that they had the oath, because I assume they still took an, I don't think they even took an oath. I think they just showed up in an office and signed the certificates. They didn't actually have to do a hand to your heart oath in front of a judge thing. But also that the agreement that they signed was revised. And as I was thinking about this, I looked it up online. For those that are interested, there's something called the conscientious objectors claim, where you can always go back if you had to become a citizen and file a claim saying that you are opposed to serving in the armed forces and or bearing arms on grounds of moral or religious principles, and then you tell them why. And I think that something like that could be available to somebody who was born into U.S. citizenship, because there's plenty of us who are born here and do not agree with what's required of us as people living in this land. So that's kind of going back to what the question was earlier.
Yeah. I'm sure they make accommodations for certain Christians and certain religious beliefs. I don't know that, of course. I'm not into that. Don't need it. But anyway, what are vows and oaths? You know what vows and oaths and pledges are. They're for actions in the future, right? That's what they are. They're for actions in the future. And if that's the case, what did the Lord tell us? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
The Lord's made it pretty clear in his word that we're unable to keep any promises or oaths. We have no ability to do that. And I was just thinking when Anna was saying that about that stipulation there about, you know, religious beliefs and something, I would think that if they tried to draft you into the military or something and you refuse to do this, like, you know, I refuse to shoot anybody. Well, do they really want me in the armed forces that I would not shoot anybody? You know, not cover my brother or what, you know, my brother, my soldier, my, you know, comrade or whatever. They wouldn't want somebody like that. And, you know, you would be a liability if your heart wasn't in it, right? I guess that's kind of what I was thinking there. And then as far as like, you know, being born and raised here, we were taught the national anthem and we had to recite. I remember in elementary school having every morning pledging allegiance to the flag of the United States every day in school. That was just something that we did in the school I grew up in elementary in a public school system. You know, that was a very long time ago. I don't know that they still do that or not. I would guess not, but so that was just something that's just how the system was then, you know. But I don't know what it is now about that. Because I think there's a lot of people have in the school system, they don't make their kids do that anymore, but I don't really know. That's all.
Yeah. All right, Judy. Sue or Gay Note? I don't know which. I can't hear you. You're muted.
Sorry. Okay, like some of these younger people that have children and maybe they're in sports or something and, you know, you're at this game and they do the Pledge of Allegiance before that. I mean, do you just not stand up and pledge allegiance or do you stay sitting down or, like, you know, what do?
You kneel. No, don't do that. Well, you don't say it. You can stand up.
But you can stand. I mean,
yeah, you can stand up. That's not pledging allegiance to the flag. You're just showing courtesy to the people.
Stood up, but we didn't say anything.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Ronnie. Can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry. What about a promise or pledge you made prior to becoming Christian? That you're still
what about
being, a promise or a pledge you made prior to becoming a Christian?
It's null and void. It's null and void. Yeah. Because when you became a Christian, all that stuff went behind you. You're not a longer a part of the world. You're part of God's kingdom now. Amen. Yeah, Julie.
Ronnie, I would just, you know, confess it to the Lord. You were wrong, and He doesn't hold that against you. And just, you just renounce it, and you put it behind you. You know, you come to understanding of something that you thought was right, and then God shows you differently, and you repent of it. that's all God wants us to do. So it's like when we realize something, we're in error, like pledging allegiance to the, you know, to the flag, you know, right. I was wrong. According to him, us, you know, according to the word of God, that's wrong, and we know better now. So you just repent of it, you renounce it, and you don't do it anymore. So we've all made mistakes of just, we thought that was the right thing to do because that's what we knew, you know, and we just repent of it. That's what growing up and learning and growing is all about, whatever it is that we're learning, whether it's in the word or, you know, in our walk. God shows us something in the word, and when we realize that we've been doing it wrong for years, it's like, wow, look at that, I've been doing that wrong now. Right, I know better.
This is prior to being a Christian, so it kind of is null and void, right? It's already forgiven.
Yeah, you're a new creation. All that other stuff doesn't matter. You're a new creation in Christ. Once you got saved and you're on that path of holiness and righteousness with Him, all that stuff from the past doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
For any of us. That's real life.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, David.
I was looking at what Claire and Rhianne sent about James 5:12. It does say that, you know, above all things, my brothers, do not swear neither by heaven nor by earth nor by any oath, but let your yes be yes, your no be no. It says, so you do not fall under judgment. Now, that judgment may not come from God, but may come from the people you put an oath with. Because you just submitted to them. And if you all of a sudden don't honor that oath, well, now you're under their judgment because you said you would. Just that's what I was thinking. It wasn't God's judgment as much as you're going to maybe put yourself under somebody else's authority at that point.
Amen. Listen to what Ecclesiastes 5 says, 1-7. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the works of your hand? And in verse 7, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God. Best thing is not to make any kind of vows or pledges or oaths at all, because you can't do nothing. It's God that does it all. He knows what's going to happen. You might not be here tomorrow. Yeah, Claire.
I'm just curious. I'm just thinking now. When I married Rhianne,
I think I know where this is going.
Vows that we made to each other, like. What is that? In Ephesians, it tells you how to treat your husband and it tells you how to treat your wife. I get that. And I'm happy with that. And we try and live that. But those vows that apostate church makes you say, what is that about? Like, is that even, what is that? I'm thinking maybe there's something wrong with that.
Well, you all need to get a divorce, split up right now, Lord of God and quit it.
No, no, that's not what I mean. Okay.
No, that was done in ignorance.
Okay.
You know, you can tell each other, you know, certain things and still not be a vow, you know, to the best of my ability with God's help, that type of thing, you know. I don't know.
But is that like just one more little thing that the apostate church maybe gets wrong, that they put this undue and unwarranted pressure and make you say something and promise something that we all know we're sinful. We all know we're going to mess up at some, like, but obviously by faith, you're not. By faith, you're perfected by Christ. But I'm saying as you're walking in the sanctification, like that, and then people feel like, well, when that vow's not fulfilled, that gives me an out. Like then I can divorce or whatever. And that's
No, you can't get a divorce because, no, exactly, you can't do that.
That's exactly Lord, what I'm saying.
The Lord's laid out words for that too, you know.
Yeah, so I think it's just maybe there's a lot of churches that are putting a yoke on that doesn't need to be on. The Bible is the yoke. Bible and Jesus. Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah. I know. You know, it's, let's just make an oath not to make any oaths. What do you think? Let's just do that. Let's just say an oath that we're not going to make any more oaths at all. Yeah, it can get kind of sticky, but let's just stick with what the Word of God says. And if we stick with the Word of God, I tell you what Pat said a while ago, if you'll just be led by the Spirit of God, you'll never go wrong. As long as it lines up with the Word of God. Go ahead, Lana.
I can have.
I'll get you in a minute, Paula.
This topic actually came up with me and my mother-in-law, where I was wondering what exactly does the Bible require of us to get married. From what I know, it's if I agree to be Theo's wife, that verbal agreement between the two of us has us married in God's eyes. Outside of marriage certificates and church ceremonies and engagement parties and receptions and all that, biblically, are we simply required to have that verbal agreement and call it good? Or what are your thoughts?
Well, as long as you and Phil agree to be married, that's enough, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Because your heart's right with it and his heart's right with it. You know, I know there's a lot of ceremony and stuff with marriages. Some people just go completely nuts over it, and that's okay if that's what they want to do. But if we're a child of God, he should be glorified.
I asked this because I started thinking about this, and I was like, well, the evening Theo proposed to me, and I said yes. Biblically, that was enough in God's eyes for us to live as husband and wife and, you know, announce it to the world that we have chosen to be married. And we, of course, went through the entire engagement ceremony and so many months of waiting and a big old wedding and whatnot. But there was so much extra involved that today I look back and I'm just like, I don't think that's all necessary. And so that's where the question kind of comes from.
Well, even in this country, there's a thing called common law marriage that you don't even have to go through the paperwork stuff. So, I don't know, you know. Yeah, Dave. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead, Dave. Then I'll get you, Joe. Sorry.
Did Paula want to go or somebody else too?
Paula. I'm sorry. Y'all going to have to keep Paul. These hands up.
Oh, wait.
We'll have to do this number.
No, just quickly, I just wanted to say that marriage is an institute or an institution? I don't know. Claire, which word is it? But it's from God. So it was hijacked, you know, by the world. So if God gave it, then for me it will be something that obviously has a stamp of approval that yes, this is an agreement that you may enter into because it's something that he gave and ordained. So for me, it's marriage is just a little bit different, I would say, from other oaths or vows. And I agree with, I think it was Julie who said, all the wordy vows, you know, that needs to go because, yeah, just takes a little bit of married life for you to quickly realize, you know, oh my word, those vows, yeah. But if the Lord says it's good, then he will give you the ability, I believe, to practically lay down your life in your married life and be able to stick to that agreement. But it will only be if both, you know, are willing to lay down their lives. Otherwise, it will never work. Just wanted to say.
Amen. I just a little short story. When my youngest daughter's beau came around to ask me for her hand, he said, would you consent to allow me to marry your daughter? I said, do you like her? He said, oh, I just love her. I said, I didn't ask you if you loved her. I said, do you like her? He said, yeah, she's my best friend. I said, well, then you can marry her. Because love can be something else. Well, boy, when you have a friend, if it's your best friend, you know that there's going to be some compatibility there. So, just a little short thing. Go ahead, Joe.
I was thinking about that Rian posted email, but what says, what Pat was also talking about, under God. I think there's a big difference what we understand of God, his sovereignty, his holiness, his righteousness, and the government understands anything about God. So that'd be a big difference to me to understand what the government understands and what me understand. Yeah.
Yeah. Under what God? You know, yeah. that's the kicker right there. Under what God? You know, we've got some of the coins that he's got under God on them, you know. But that's not the God that we serve.
Amen.
Amen.
I would say God of this world. That says
yeah.
enough.
Amen. It's the God of this world. That's what you're all about. Yeah, Dave.
I was just going to speak on the marriage thing and the ceremonies. You know, you do have ceremonies in the scripture. It's not like I'm saying you have to follow that pattern, because look what Jacob went through, you know. He had to go through quite a bit to get two wives. But still, and then you had Jesus said that he was at the wedding of Canaan. So you do have this ceremony thing going on. It's not unheard of. So if there is, it's fine. I don't think there's a problem there. Genesis just basically makes it real simple. It just says, Genesis 2:24, and I looked it up real quick. Therefore, a man will leave his father and his mother and will join with his wife, and they will become one flesh. It talks about the marriage being essentially a covenant between two people. So that covenant, once it's made, and especially under God, it's not supposed to be broken. That we know. The becoming one flesh, that's what is the goal of marriage, you know. So I think that would be the thing that probably should be taught the most, and how to become one flesh in a marriage where you're living as one, not two. So that would probably be the thing a good teacher should be able to, would be helpful to explain. I don't know if they do a good job at that with the church. I don't think they understand that. And me, I'd have to look into that some more. Of course, it's dying to self, but becoming one flesh, just like we become one with Christ, you know, that whole relationship, one with God, with baptism, Holy Spirit. All that comes into play, but how does it work with the marriage? It's similar, But we would need to, I think it'd be good to expand on that so we understand what that term talks about. So when you enter a marriage, you have no misunderstanding what you're doing. I think that's the problem with marriage today is people don't understand what it is they're walking into. And this term says a lot. We should, that should be, that's what needs to be understood before people get married or make a vow. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. That's a good point because the Lord said there's only one body, right? He's the head and we're the body. And the same way with a marriage. Same way. That's what God's looking at. And you're right. We learn together in the Word of God. And that's why the Lord made it. He wanted us to be equally yoked. And when you're equally yoked, you're both looking and running toward the Lord. And you want to do what the Lord wants you to do. And there's going to be cohesiveness in that marriage because you're both wanting to do and be a part of the body of Christ in the best way possible. And that's to be an exemplary example of what the body of Christ should look like. Oh, sorry, Pat, go ahead.
So I had a question because when we brought up the marriage or the marriage relationship, which I think Dave is saying is a covenant relationship, isn't that what you're saying, Dave? And that covenant relationship is under God. And so is there a difference between a covenant and a vow or swearing and a covenant? I'm looking at the same picture of the husband and the wife coming together in a relationship, but both under the head of Christ, under God, almost a type or a picture of us being married to Christ and having a relationship in this government of the United States. There's a relationship there, but under Christ, under God. So I don't know. Maybe I'm.
You're talking apples and oranges now.
Yeah, it's not the same. God created Adam and Eve. You know, He created Adam and Eve came out of Adam. We know that, and then that covenant was made right there. That was something that was sanctioned by God. Government, even though it's given under God's control, it doesn't have that same marital status as between husband and wife as with us. We don't have that covenant like that, the intimacy, that oneness like that. That wasn't sanctioned in the scriptures ever like that. The only thing we have close to that would be our covenant with our Lord and the Holy Spirit, as our communion with the Holy Spirit. That would be the only closest thing we've got. Yeah, the governmental relationship and that, like that, that closeness, that union, that oneness. You don't have that with the world. You don't have that. You can't be in covenant like that with the world.
Understood. What about with your marriage partner there?
What do you mean?
Is that marriage relationship a covenant between the two under God, or
a covenant? Also, you realize once it's broken, once there's a death, right? That's that covenant no longer exists after death. And that's pointed out about how we're, when we took in Christ as our Savior, we recognized that we died with Christ at the cross, that old man died, so that new covenant could be brought in with Christ. So that new, these covenants are based on death also. So then we have a new covenant with Christ based on our death with Christ, in Christ. The old man died. Well, if we didn't die, we'd still be married to the old man. So it's you have to, the covenant is, it is a sacred thing. Understand how covenants work. It's a legal agreement. It's a binding thing, you know. But that covenant with government, we can't have that kind of same covenant. We don't have that real, that oneness with a government. Never.
Yeah, no, I wasn't referring, I wasn't implying that. I was just using it as an example of authority, I guess, is more or less, but not implying that type of covenant relationship with a government or with a I don't know.
That's what separates us. That's why we can't do the oaths now, because of our covenant relationship with God. I mean, we died with Christ. We were brought into this new covenant. Our new covenant, our covenant is with the Lord, you know, and what he says and goes. And we can't go under another covenant, you know, basically. Another vow with a government, where we have our covenant with the Lord.
The word tells us that if we, here's the kicker with the whole thing. If most of the time, 99% of the time, if you do what the Lord tells you to do, you're not going to have any problems with the government. Most of the time. And that's what the Lord told us, you know. Do what the Lord, what the authority said to do, as long as it goes with the word of God, and you show love to everybody, you're not going to have any problems hardly at all, unless something drastic happens, you know, like an asteroid belt coming in and smacking everything. Yeah, Dave.
I just know a lot of these problems are going to go away when a covenant is made with many for 1 week. We'll all be under the same covenant then, so.
Yeah.
Joke. But yeah, at that point,
way, that's...
that sovereignty thing is going to go out the window. Swearing allegiance to a country, you know, it's all going to be, it'll change everything.
Well, the covenant with many is on the road. With that UAE and Israel deal, that's just part of it. Anyway, okay, everybody square on that? Amen. Andrew, you had your hand up a while ago and I missed you.
You know, it was about when a person asks to marry you, you know, whose idea was that anyway? Like, who would have put that in that person's mind to ask someone else if they would want to marry you? You know what I mean? Because God is still sovereign in this, you know? And sometimes we think it's our own idea that we come up with these things. And God's sovereign over all things. And I will remind you what it says. In sovereign God about that, you know, that he's sovereign over the good and the bad. So he can make things come to pass in your life that might not be good, but if you're just not going to have any fear of God about it, then where are you at if you don't even recognize something as being wrong? even though you know it's wrong. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is they know very well what it says in the book of Genesis about creation. Okay? And they teach a different origin. Why? You know? So isn't that like a pledge? So I'm not trying to put a law on anyone here, but you know, there's some scriptures there in the Sermon on the Mount where it says those who teach something wrong will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, and those who teach something and do it and it's right shall be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I remember reading that once and saying, well, what would be an example for some of those least, Lord? And I go, boy, did I ever just ask a dumb question. You're supposed to be shooting for what's the best, not what's the least. And I almost asked a question like, what can I get away with, you know? And I don't know why I just said even what I said. So it's a difficult call on some things, you know? You know, I really enjoyed myself when I went fishing with my son-in-law and my son, but it was at my son-in-law's parents' house. And I should have probably, you know, had a more of a relationship with his father, but he actually said that I could take his boat out with my son and son-in-law, because it was Father's Day. And you know, if you try to talk to your sons about the Lord, and it just doesn't sometimes come out the way you want it to, you know. And or you sometimes think, you know, well, what if they ostracize you? Or I'm not saying that I have rejection here. I'm just saying, I guess it's because of what I read in the Bible about Paul being in fear that that somehow Satan would come and interfere with the gospel. So I guess you really have to prepare it and go in with prayer first to bring the gospels of salvation to people. And, you know, with me, it's been that so many people have rejected, but there's always that glimmer of interest or light in some of the people when we talk the gospel to them. And not too long ago, me and my son went out for lunch, and I was talking to him about grace, and then I sort of didn't know if I had his attention, and I just went, well, let's not talk about this anymore. And he goes, no, Dad, you're okay. You can talk to me about that anytime. So I took that as a blessing that he's open for that kind of stuff. So, you know, then of course we did some shopping, I just, you know, why do they have that? You know, like, why is it that you're taught something when you're young and suddenly they don't want to believe that anymore? I mean, Genesis, the creation, is important. The lineage of Christ is mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament, from Luke. In the book of Luke, it goes from Adam to Jesus. And you can count them, even like I did. We're the 78th. Jesus is the 77th. And so, you know, why do they have this alternative? Is it a pledge you're making there? Is it something where you changed your mind in the wrong direction? Or is it something where you were told to do something that led you astray? How many of these things have happened over the past 2,000 years? You know, there's that false prophet over there in the book of Titus. And he doesn't mention him by name, but he basically slandered a whole nation of people. And there seems to be lots of that kind of spirit going around now for slander. Anyway, so I even like circled that in my Bible, and I say, what nationality do people put that in there now? You know, but I've heard a lot of Polish jokes in my life, you know, so why we have ski at our on the end of our names is because we can't spell toboggan or something. I don't, so anyway, I'm not Polish and I'm not Canadian. And you're not American, and there's no one here from South Africa, and I don't know if Greg knows that he's not from Australia. So I just don't know what to say about it. You got to seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. And some people are really going to come into that all things. I don't know how it's going to work. It's just going to happen. Well, praise God.
We're just passing through, right, Andrew?
Amen.
I don't think it's going to make a minute's difference here in a little bit. Because it's going to be very evident and very obvious who the Christians are, the real Christians are, and the apostate Christian.
Yeah, I'd say that, you know, I keep thinking of the light that's supposed to be within you. And that fear of God really has to come in there a lot. If you can get messed up so easily. Speaking of fishing, you know, I went fishing on the weekend. On Saturday, had nice weather, caught one fish, but I didn't land him.
How big was he?
Didn't land him. Oh, must have been really big because it dove in the air and it threw the hook off, you know. And I went, wow. It actually taught me a spiritual lesson about fishing, you know, on how you get, how you get these, you get hooked in the flesh of the fish, you know. A man is likened to a fish, you know. And you can catch a fish, and the lure will go right down its gusset, and it won't even be hooked. It's just that it's halfway down its throat all over already. And sometimes they'll just pull the lure right out of his mouth, and it's not even hooked. It's because he partially swallowed it. You know how it is. My daughter, I have to remind her about this. She had a piece of jewelry in her mouth. It was attached to a safety pin, and it was a little cross. And she swallowed it. You know, after it goes down to a certain distance there, I think she was about 2.5 years old. And I said, see, you took down the cross. And I'm going to have to remind her about her cross now. So, it's amazing how God can open conversations like this with people. So I'm going to have to remind her about that cross thing that she swallowed when she was 2.5. See? You know about the cross. You swallowed it when you were 2.5. Anyway, So I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh, well.
Amen. I knew we'd get a fish story in here on this vow and oaths and
pledges. Yeah, I was talking, and there was this loading. I haven't been to this fishing spot since I was a teenager, and I decided to go back on the weekend. You know, this is my fourth time fishing this year. I think I'm done. Anyway, there was this tour boat that would go by on pontoons, pick up tourists and go by. And I noticed always the driver was on his phone. And I was there for 4 hours. And then one of the guys that was a tourist said, "You can't fish here." And I said, "Well, there's no sign that says no fishing. I used to fish here 40 years ago, you know?" And so rather than make a problem that might come where the police would have to come and arrest me, even though I have a fishing license, and even though that when the boat would come in, I'd take my line in, you know, I'm doing lures here, you know, but you can't even fish anymore. So that's just insane on how people have everything to murmur about, you know. What's going on, you know? Like, when I was a teenager, I'd have been able to fish there, you know? But now that I'm not a teenager, or maybe I am a teenager in the spirit, I don't know. I don't know how old I am. God knows everything. Anyway, it's just so insane, you know? They can't even let a person fish, even though they took all my fishing spots. That whole tributary is now a place where they do kayaking, and now this tourist pontoon boat comes by, and one of the drivers didn't like me there because there was more than one boat. They don't go in cycles, and they had their own dock. I wasn't on their dock. I was off the point. Anyway.
Oh, well. Put the fish back.
Well, you know, no, it never got in, you know, like, I hooked them, but I didn't.
I shouldn't ask.
Anyways, I was bad. I went and got a fishing pole. So, you know, I don't know, maybe some people have to pray for me, but you know, it's been 40 years, you know, and I went fishing once with my soon to be son-in-law a couple of years back, and then I went fishing four times this year, so that's pretty good for 40 years.
Amen.
And the pole was only $25, so I don't know, like,
you can buy a whole lot of fish for $25, Andrew.
That's a lot of fish sticks. Anyway, I'm sorry. Andrew, get back on topic, people.
I don't forgot what the topic is now. No.
Do you think you could get more than 153 fish sticks out of that?
Possibly. What we got down there in that chat?
You know, I remember someone went hunting. Where is he? He's from Montana there. What's his name again? He went elk hunting, so he went hunting, so I can go. And I saw a guy out there fishing. He's right on here right now, so.
Amen.
You know, there's so many things a person can do, but, you know, if you bring the Lord with you, if you bring the Lord fishing with you, you know, here you have the son. He's finally at that age, you know. I mean, Dave, you have a son there, right? And he says, okay, Dad, I'm going to take you fishing. You know, like, it's ample opportunity, so many different, you know, you can say, like, let's find the axe that floats, the axe head that floats or something, you know, and just to get some things out there that he should be reading the word about that floating axe head. Anyway, or is Jesus going to be on the shore making they would arrest him today here in Canada for sure, making a campfire and having a little fish fry there at the end of John there. He can't do that today, man. No way, man. Jesus would be arrested if he came to Canada. I'm understanding that. He'd have to have a license for his fishnet.
Oh, boy. Oh, help me, Jesus. Okay, next. Let's see, what's today? Tuesday, Thursday, we'll talk about Mary Magdalene. Is that okay, Paula? Mary Magdalene in. This, she says David has a study on it sometime, but it's actually, I went down there and asked him after we talked about it, or you sent me that, and he said that, no, it was, I don't know. He didn't remember what the name of it was. He thought it was part of another one.
Yeah, I haven't heard a study from him on that. He was mentioning it like in passing. It was another study, and he just mentioned that. And I can't remember which study it was. That's why I actually wanted to talk about it, because I couldn't find anything on that, and he just mentioned it very quickly.
Yeah. Well, I went down there and asked him after I read that, and he said, I don't know. I think it was Dwellers in the Tower. Well, there's not one like called that. So that's out the question. So what it means is he don't remember what the name of it was. But we can talk about Mary Magdalene Thursday night. Any specific part of that you wanted to go over, or
what I remember him saying in the one teaching was just that he made a thorough study of her at one stage, and that he came to the conclusion that she was, you know, one of his greatest disciples, because she was always with the Lord wherever he went, whatever the event was, she was there. And that, you know, the feeling that I got from him is that she's someone that we should actually be emulating and take as an example of what a true disciple and a dedicated disciple looks like. But if you search for things like on the internet, you just get, you know, you're not going to get anything really good on that. I tried. So, and I went through the Gospels where they mention her. But also, you know, there's not a lot of depth just in the surface text. So I just thought it's something that needs to be explored. I don't know exactly how. I don't have any info on her. And then also, there seems to be confusion if she's the same Mary that is Lazarus's sister, and if she's the same Mary that washed Jesus' feet with her tears.
Alabaster box.
Yeah, and some say she is, some say she isn't. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll come up with the right answers come Thursday night. Praise God.
Okay.
Yeah, Ronnie. Wait a minute, you got to unmute.
I just had a question for you after the recording's over.
Okay.
That's okay. Right. Or yeah, anybody else, just don't record it.
Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for helping us out tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us clear direction on oaths and pledges and vows, but a lot of times the world is, where we live in, Lord, there's certain things that we do have to sign, and somebody brought it out in the chat room there, rental agreements and things like that. And we just ask that you help us out in those type of situations, Father. And we thank you for it, Father. And Lord, we just ask that you be with us the next few days until we come back together again Thursday. And bless our night tonight with a good night's sleep, and give us all dreams about the good things fixing to happen. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us, guiding us, leading us, directing our thoughts and our very speech. And we praise you, Father, for placing it in us to have a hunger for the Word, to be in the Word and abiding in you, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.